Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello, and welcome to Digest This. I'm Dr. Liz Cruz, and I've got Tina Nunziato sitting right here by my side. Thank you so much for joining us for another podcast. If you are a first-time listener, welcome. And if you are one of our regular listeners, thank you so much for always being there for us and with us. And I hope that you are learning something every time you listen to one of our podcasts, or at least enjoying it. So today we actually have a pretty interesting topic. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, well, we wanted to continue what we were talking about the last time.
Right, the tech
neck. With regard to the tech neck.
That's right. Yeah. If you missed that podcast,
text neck.
Oh my goodness. I keep calling it tech neck.
I mean, actually, tech neck works too. But
yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, text neck.
Right.
Text neck, but I have renamed it as tech neck.
Right.
But go back and listen to our previous podcast if you didn't get a chance to listen to it. Really fascinating information about this text neck, which is a syndrome that is a real syndrome that is being seen more and more, especially by chiropractors, because of the way that people's neck is bent constantly in their phones or in other technology.
Right.
So today we're going to continue on the tech syndromes, tech conversations. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit, or actually we're going to talk a lot about
screen time syndrome.
Mm-hmm. See, there I was going to name it again. Electronic screen syndrome.
Yeah, there's actually multiple names for it. But yeah, the most common name is screen time syndrome. So we wanted to just talk about what it was, what it means, and why it's such a big deal today.
Right. Well, this is apparently something that is considered a real syndrome. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is something that, you know, most of the information that we were reading is being put out by a psychiatrist who apparently has been seeing a lot of cases of this syndrome. Mm-hmm. And
and she also said she feels like a lot of the psychological issues that are being diagnosed today, like ADHD and things like that,
right.
She's saying that there's a lot more, she feels misdiagnosis, right? Mm-hmm. That it's this kind of screen time syndrome instead of ADHD.
Right.
So she was, you know, going into a lot of the screen time syndrome. But, I want to talk about, you know, our kids with the handheld devices. You know, a lot of the parents feel like, you know, they need to give their kids these handheld devices to give them an edge. You know, they feel like, oh, it's educational. You know, they can play math games mm-hmm. on it or read books on it. And
like
so
they feel that they're really trying to help the kids.
Right.
You know, they have good intentions.
Right.
They have good intentions.
Yeah.
And
it tends to go bad quickly.
It does. It does. Because the reality, and actually these are some of the things that I learned from some of these articles, is that this is a form of a digital drug, really. Mm-hmm. This is a form of a digital drug. And they were even comparing it to the way that cocaine affects the brain. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's fascinating. And in one of the articles they were talking, and they had some really interesting images of the brain. They were like radiology imaging, and they were showing how the screen time affects the frontal cortex of the brain, mm-hmm. which is the part that controls executive functioning or like impulse control. Okay, mm-hmm. that includes impulse control, and that's exactly the same thing that cocaine does. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, we're talking about giving our children these devices, thinking that we're doing a great thing,
right.
and we're basically giving them a drug,
right.
A digital drug.
Yeah. That they get addicted to.
And they do get addicted.
Yeah. And when you try to ask for it, and there's temper tantrums, and when you try to put limits on it, there's crying and screaming.
Right.
And I mean, that should be our first warning,
yep.
right? That something's not right. But I think, you know, the most interesting thing to me is that the kids with these devices, it doesn't take them long to go from playing educational games to playing just games, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of times, like Minecraft is a perfect example, because Minecraft is, you know, kind of an educational game, right? They call it, you know, like the sandbox, you know, a technology sandbox. But the problem is that it's still a game. And the kids are getting so addicted to these games, and they can't control themselves. You know, they're kids, and so they have a hard time putting this stuff down. But there's really damaging effects to these handheld devices, whether it's being read stories from the devices or playing games on the devices. And just what it's doing is it's taking time away from other things right. that they should be doing.
Right. Right? And it's making the kids lazy.
Right.
It's making them lazy because it's all there. Like if there's, you know, a story or whatever, the pictures are there.
Right.
So there's really nothing left to the imagination.
That's right.
And so as opposed to like having a mother that or a father that sits down and reads them a story, mm-hmm. and that forces, you know, the child is using their ears to listen. Mm-hmm. They have to use their brain to process it and to then imagine pictures. I mean, the book may have photos in it, but it forces them to be much more active
mm-hmm. in that process. Line.
Exactly. Yeah. Following the storyline. Yeah. So, you know, like the doctor that wrote some of these articles we were reading was talking about the children that she sees in her practice that come in, and they're basically, I mean, they're suffering from sensory overload. Mm-hmm. They aren't getting good sleep. Mm-hmm. They're not getting good sleep. And they have like a hyper aroused nervous system. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're on edge. Mm-hmm. They're on edge. And
which
you
is
know,
like constant stress
right.
on the body.
Right. And so this is what she calls the electronic screen mm-hmm. syndrome. Mm-hmm. You know, she's coined this. And she said that, you know, these kids, they're moody, they're impulsive, you know, they can't pay attention. And it's just, you know, she was also talking about that from 1982 to 2007 mm-hmm. that she has seen. Now, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. I had to read it three times. 800% mm-hmm. right?
Increase in ADHD.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's what she's saying is that she feels that ADHD is being misdiagnosed.
Right.
Right. That
right.
It's not probably, you know, true ADHD.
It's probably the electronic screen syndrome.
Exactly. Where kids can't focus because, you know, the other thing is, you know, kids don't like to be bored, right? They want to be constantly entertained. Mm-hmm. And I've always told our kids, it's okay to be bored. Like, mm-hmm. that's when your brain has to go to work, when you're bored, you know, because you have to come up with something to do. And the devices make it so the kids don't have to think anymore. You know, the device thinks for them.
Right.
And it like you said, it makes their brain lazy. And the brain is just like anything else in the body. It can turn around, mm-hmm. right? Like we can reverse the laziness of the brain, but we've got to put down the electronics and we've got to get back to playing outside and being social and, you know, not having to be entertained all the time, you know, right. having to sit down, even in the car or at a restaurant, right? Not constantly having something in front of you, you know, looking out the window and using your imagination mm-hmm. and being outside and looking at the clouds and using your imagination. That's what builds the brain,
right.
you know? But we don't have that today because all the kids are on these handheld devices all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So they're just, the brains are getting lazy.
Yeah, well, I found it interesting that she was talking about the Silicon Valley gurus, you know, mm-hmm. like Steve Jobs and who else was she mentioning?
Larry Page.
Right. The founder
Jeff
of Amazon.
Bezos, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, she's talking about these guys that
are tech savvy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But they've got their kids like in tech.
No tech schools
mm-hmm. in Montessori schools. I mean, they're, you know, so it's like they know.
Mm-hmm.
They know I'm assuming, that, you know, yeah. she didn't say, but they know the issues with that screen time.
That's right.
And so these guys that develop all these fancy, mm-hmm. all this fancy technology for us,
they don't let their kids use it. That's right.
So anyways, I thought that was quite interesting. But I think that, you know, what Tina was just saying, as far as the kids, and you know what, you can retrain the brain, mm-hmm. that's a great, the most amazing thing about the brain is that the brain can be molded and it can be retrained. And so, you know, she's really, really pushing for retraining and rewiring the brain with our kids, mm-hmm. because before it's too late, because yeah. once they keep moving on and then grow into adulthood, I mean, I honestly think that these kids are going to have a hard time having relationships, okay? Because they're not going to learn, they're not going to know how to socialize, mm-hmm. because they will have always had their head mm-hmm. in some sort of a screen, that's playing right. games or doing something like that. So I think that there's going to be issues with them being able to maintain friendships, mm-hmm. relationships, you know, maybe mm-hmm. getting a spouse, mm-hmm. and on and on. It's, you know, the issues are going to propagate.
Even work related.
Work, I mean, absolutely.
Not going to be able to work with people very well, yeah. you know, just they, you know, team environments. I mean, that's the whole thing, like with being outside and playing, or, you know, playing with actual Legos, you know, or playing with toys, right? The hard things. Like typically you're interacting with other kids, mm-hmm. right? You're outside playing. You have to learn social graces. You have to learn how to compromise. You have to learn how to get along, and you know, everyone has, you know, come up with a solution to a problem
right.
that you're having. What are we going to use for the bases? What are we going to use for this? What are we going to use for that? Right. You know, and if you don't have that interaction, you really are, you know, giving a major disservice to the children.
Absolutely.
Today, you know, and preparing them for the future and being able to work as a team and come up with solutions.
Yep.
You know, today the kids, they just, everything is spoon fed to them. They don't have to come up with anything, you know, they have a very hard time disconnecting,
mm-hmm.
very hard time, especially sleep. These children have such a hard time going to bed at night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they even recommend that you are not on your phone or your electronic device, like right before going to bed, because it stimulates you.
Right.
It's very stimulating, and it does make it hard to like just relax and be able to just go to sleep, yeah. because your brain is just wired. So, you know, she did have some recommendations on what we can do to rewire and retrain the brain. You've mentioned a few of them already,
right.
But a couple things is, you know, train delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which I thought was great. You know, make him wait. It's okay. And it's okay for them to be bored.
Right.
It's okay for them to be bored and you know, it makes them be creative. It makes mm-hmm. them try to figure out what they can do,
right?
Other than being entertained right, by the exactly. electronics,
exactly. Yeah, and a lot of times I notice, because you know, our kids don't play games in the car like that, and it might take them a little while, but then they'll start making up a game. They'll make up their own game.
Yep.
And that to me, again, they're using their brain
exactly,
you know, to make up a game.
Exactly.
So.
And one that you already mentioned that I think is worth mentioning again, because we see this all the time in restaurants and, you know, with the kids and with the adults, is avoiding technology in the restaurants
right.
and in the cars.
Right.
Imagine if there was some sort of a rule now with all, or a law with all the restaurants, mm-hmm. that when you came in, your technology had to be off.
Right. It would force us all to talk to each other.
It
again.
Would.
Yeah.
Like we would actually be looking at each other again
yeah.
and having
yeah.
conversation
right.
over our meal.
Scary.
Very scary.
Yes.
Very scary. So don't be afraid to set limits. Okay. Mm-hmm. The kids need limits to grow happy and be healthy.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we set limits on things, you know, like computer time, right? So the kids do have access to a computer and they have limits and they push the limits.
Oh, yes.
Right? All the time.
Oh,
they
yes.
push the limits. And there might be a week where they have pushed the limit and then we remind them the next week of the limit and they get upset, right? But in the end, they're almost happier. Like they're happy to have the limit. I
right.
can't explain it, but like it's almost like they have this relief or this weight lifted off of them that you've pulled them away mm-hmm. from it. And it's such a weird thing because like they want it, yet when they're forced to pull away, they're like thankful.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you experienced this with our
Absolutely.
Children?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know, definitely. And I think, I mean, kids, even though they're going to fight it, kids like structure. Mm-hmm. And they like schedules, okay? They like, you know, they like, and they like for us to set the limits, mm-hmm. all right? Even though they're going to fight it, and sometimes it's like, oh, well, maybe I'm being too hard on them. But you know what? They like that.
Yeah.
Okay, because I think that maybe they don't understand this. Maybe they can't express it in this way, but it shows them that we care.
Right.
It shows them that we care, even though they may not be able to actually say that to us right now because they probably don't get it. Mm-hmm. But they know that in the end, they know that we're doing it because we care about them.
Right. And that's the next thing is doing what's good for them, not what they want or don't want.
Right.
Right. So a lot of times we as parents, what I've noticed today is that parents bend to the child mm-hmm. a lot. And if they want something, we give it to them. Right. But we have to teach them that there are things that are good for them and things that are bad for them. And that has nothing to do with their wants and don't wants
right.
and like what you just said, we're doing it for the good of them.
Exactly.
And that if you explain it to them like that, usually they're more understanding and mm-hmm. they'll listen to you, right?
Yep.
Because you're not doing it because you're going to give them whatever they want anytime they want. You're doing it because it's good for them.
Yep, that's right. And another thing is teaching our kids to do monotonous work, like from the early years, because that's a foundation for future workability. Mm-hmm. Okay, for example, and I love all these things. Mm-hmm. I think this is great. Folding laundry, tidying up the toys, unpacking groceries, hanging their clothes, you know, making their bed, mm-hmm. making their bed, setting the table, making lunches. Mm-hmm. I propose mm-hmm. that next year our children start making their own lunch.
Amen, sister.
You know, and then unpacking their lunchbox. I mean, mm-hmm. these things are things that make them feel a part of everything that's going on, of the household, and it's going to be good for their future.
That's right. Yeah. And then she also has have fun with your children.
Yeah.
You know, again, I think a lot of parents give their kids these things because it entertains the kids mm-hmm. and they don't have to interact with the kids as much. But ideally, your children want you to read them a story instead of getting a story from the tablet.
Yes,
ideally, they want you to wrestle with them. They want you to go play outside. They want to play board games. They want to do those things, right?
Yep.
But we're not making time for those things. A lot of us are in front of the TV. You know, instead of really playing and interacting with our children. And that was one of the biggest things she said was to play games, have fun, do things with your children, go outside, ride bikes, you know, go for walks,
right?
Things like that.
Well, I think that we are going to bring this to an end. This has actually been, I think, a fascinating topic. And again, if you didn't listen to the previous podcast on text neck, please go back and listen to that one. It kind of ties in with this one from today. And sorry, we went a little over on time, but thank you so much for hanging in there with us and for being present on this podcast with us. And we hope to catch you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.